so much. I am so happy to be here, and my wonderful chief clerk of my NASA and Space Subcommittee, Jeff Bingham, ever the politician that he is, first Jeff, and said when I came in, "Oh, this is the biggest crowd they've ever had." And I learned the truth. We're here for USA Space Day on Capitol Hill. But Jeff, it was a good job. Seriously, I am happy to be here, and especially because you all do so much to support space, and I really appreciate that, because we need for all of the people who understand the importance of space in the big picture to be here on Capitol Hill talking to members of Congress about the importance of keeping our commitment in space. I can't even imagine that America would take second place to space exploration when we see what we have gained already by being in the forefront, when we see the scientific discoveries, when we see the defense capabilities that we are using today with satellite-guided missions before we went into space. I cannot imagine walking away from space exploration. So I am very pleased that you are here to do that. I want to mention the greatest supporter of space that I work with on a daily basis is Ralph Hall. And I am so happy that he is here, and I want Ralph Hall to be the next chairman of the House Space and Science Committee. The other person who is the number one cheerleader for space and who has helped me so many times when we have been trying to get the appropriations, trying to increase the appropriations, is Tom DeLay, and I'm happy to tell you that he won his primary yesterday by 62% of the vote. So I am very pleased about Tom and about Ralph, and I'm so happy that they are both in leadership for our space in our country for the future. Let me just talk a little bit about our Senate Bill 1281. I am really proud of Jeff Bingham. As many of you know, Jeff Bingham was the chief of staff to Jake Garn when he went into space, and then he became he went over with NASA, so he was there for 12 years, and he's just been wonderful. When I took over the Space and Science Subcommittee, I got this call from Jake Garn, and he said, "Take Jeff Bingham as your chief clerk." And I said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe he's available," and he's done a great job, and we're really pleased that you are here. And I truly will tell you that passing the NASA authorization bill wouldn't have happened without Jeff. He just stayed on it and stayed on it and stayed on it. Is the first NASA authorization bill we've had in 5 years. So I thought it was really important after the president took the step saying this is our vision for space, we are going to stay committed to space exploration. I thought it was most important that Congress say yes, we agree with the president and we are going to get behind it. And I think that we do have a renewed commitment to space. Janet just told me that the budget increase of 3.2% was very hard fought with all the bean counters over in the White House. And I didn't have the 3% number, but I'm very pleased that NASA has had an increase, and that we are going to have that commitment by Congress and working with the president to do that. I think Mike Griffin is doing a super job. He's very focused on trying to work within a limited budget. I don't think the 3% increase in the NASA budget is enough, but I am very pleased that we got an increase. And Mike Griffin has worked really hard, and I know that he is committed to doing what the president has outlined for us to do. I want to say that if you look at the NASA authorization bill, it not only sets out what the authorization for spending is on each area, but it also does set out the path by which we would go into space exploration. It establishes a framework for expanding the utilization of the space station beyond NASA's requirements. Now, this is something that is very close to me. Many of you know that we had a report that was done by the National Science Foundation with the three academies, the Institute of Medicine, the National Academy of Science, and the National Academy of Engineering. And basically, it said that America is about to fall behind in bringing the new scientists on board. America is falling behind in the number of engineers that we are graduating. Now, many of you are in the aerospace industry, and you certainly know that. So the report called Rising Above the Gathering Storm was chaired by Norm Augustine, and it said that we've got to do certain things to keep competitiveness in America. The president adopted that, and so has Congress. And most of the focus has been on the National Science Foundation. It's also on K-12 and it's on university research, which is very important. But it's increasing the National Science Foundation commitment to research in the hard sciences, just as we've done at NIH in medicine and medical research. I want to try to put NASA in that mix. NASA should be doing some of the hard science research. We should be doing it on the International Space Station. We had a great Commerce Committee hearing with Dr. Samuel Ting, the Nobel laureate at MIT, who talked about cosmic rays being the most important energy source in space that we can start probing to see how we can harness that to provide energy in space, but maybe we can bring it back here too. And that is going to depend on research done on the International Space Station. And I want to make sure that we have the capability to do that. In our authorization bill, we earmark 15% of the research budget of NASA for non-exploration research. Mike Griffin is focused on the research that we need to do the exploration, the human spaceflight research. And I think that's very important, but not at the expense of the hard science research. That's why we made such an investment in the International Space Station. And frankly, I am going to talk to Mike Griffin and try to determine how we can get more money from other sources for the hard sciences that doesn't take from NASA. Now, I will tell you that I think NASA is shortchanging the scientific research right now, even with the 15% mandate. They are saying that the amount in NASA for research I think is less than it really is, and I'm going to try to increase that. I've got the facts on that. Jeff. Well, anyway, Jeff handed me a separate sheet. Yeah, I wanted to tell you that because I think it's really important. The figures that NASA is providing is that our 15% set aside would be $14 million in 2006. And that would mean that the total International Space Station research budget is $85 to $100 million. Out of a $1.7 billion budget, I'm not relating to that. So I'm going to ask NASA to go back to the drawing boards and come up with a better number. And I'm also going to try to work with Mike to see where we can get other money. We designated, in a historic move in the bill, we designated the International Space Station, the U.S. part, as a national lab. And that designation gives us the ability to get outside money from universities, from corporations, from people who are trying to do things in space science, that we could put on that national laboratory and not take money from the NASA budget. We also I think can take from this, this competitiveness initiative and may say that we don't have to put all the increases in the National Science Foundation. I think some of it ought to go to NASA. In addition, we have in the authorization bill, we require that the Department of Defense and the Department of and NASA get together and talk about aeronautics and what the Department of Defense is doing in aeronautics, what they are funding in aeronautics, and how can that help in the aeronautics research that NASA wants to do. So I'm looking for other sources, and I need for Mike Griffin to work with me to be creative on outside sources for the hard sciences that would be so important for the use of the International Space Station. So I'm very excited about that. I want to move on to the transportation area, because of course that's what you all are interested in and very much supportive of. One of the things that we want to do, another part of our authorization, is Congress has said we want entrepreneurs, we want outside sources for helping us with making some of the launches that we're not going to be able to do. Now, we had a negotiation with NASA on the authorization bill, and we had to compromise. The space shuttle flights are going to end in 2010, according to what the president has said, what NASA has said. And Mike Griffin doesn't like the shuttle. He thinks it's a flawed vehicle, and I think he's right. We all agree that it is, it's a vehicle that has had its problems. It's also served an incredible function. But we don't know when the CEB is going to be up and going. Now, I want to say that I think that Mike Griffin's initiative to say we're going to use well-understood and proven systems for the development of the crew return vehicle is very sound. That's going to save time. It's going to save a lot of the problems that you could have if you're going into too much new technology and ensuring the smooth transition with existing skills, existing people, existing expertise probably gives us the shorter timetable and the more reliable and tested technological systems. So I think that is an important decision that he has made to try to move up the crew return vehicle, and we support that. That also means that there are more opportunities for private help and private entrepreneurship to maybe extend the shuttles beyond 2010 to get the payload up to finish that space station. We must finish the space station. It is a commitment that we made to our international partners. So I think utilizing crew launch capabilities that might be developed by the private sector or agreements using international partners to take payloads up, and that would be Russia, probably, is a very important, those are both very important options. So I think that we've got to continue to look at the things that we're going to need to do in the future to close that gap. Now, Congress, my bill, originally said there would be no gap. We were standing firm, no gap, but we compromised because Mike Griffin and the White House said you can't promise that. So we have, candy language. we're going to try, and if we see that it is that the launch is going to end, that 2010, the space shuttle is going to end, and we don't have a date for the crew return vehicle, that Congress will get a report a year ahead of time and a plan for shortening the gap or filling that gap. So it's It wasn't my first choice, but I did want to pass the authorization bill, and I certainly wanted to go forward, and we gained so much by doing that that I gave up on just the hard and fast language. I hope that we, by using the proven technology, can get the return vehicle up and going, but we must finish the space station. We have to keep that commitment to our international partners, and we have so many opportunities. For instance, in the cosmic research area for energy, which the president is also committed to, that I don't want to walk away from those opportunities. We have never done that in America. We have always been in the forefront. We have been the ones who said the risk is worth taking. We have astronauts who have paid dearly with their lives, knowing what the risks are because they understood the importance to America's future. So we have to see this through. We have to see it through. We cannot take a second seat to anyone in space exploration and in scientific research. We cannot and we will not. And especially at a time when other countries are now beginning to get more into space exploration, certainly China and India will, we cannot take that back seat. So I thank you all for being here. I hope that you are going to help us with the commitment to hard sciences research, with the creativity that you can bring to the table to help us get that payload up there, working with NASA to achieve all of our goals, and that is to continue America's dominance in space. Thank you very much.
How do you think things will unfold on the House side? You have a vision for the Senate side. How do you think your compatriots on the House will support the kind of things that you're suggesting to Congress?
Bill, as Rob Paul is chairman of the committee, I know that we will be going in the same direction. And honestly, when we worked on the authorization bill, the House finally came around. At first I thought we were going to have a lot of roadblocks, but once they really started looking at what we could do, I think the House was very supportive, and Fondelet was very instrumental in that. Ralph Hall was saying we can't let this opportunity lapse, and I think that there's still a lot of support for space research in the House, but I do think all of your visits to the Hill will be helpful to emphasize this with every staff person you meet, every member of Congress that you meet, because, you know, there was a time when I first got here that Dale Bumpers was going to eliminate NASA and the superconducting super collider, and I think losing the superconductor, well, as a matter of fact, Dr. Chang, who I mentioned earlier, someone asked him the question, what mistakes does Congress make, and he said the biggest mistake Congress ever made was stopping the superconducting super collider. He said, now I have my team over in Bern, because America took a second seat. It was so wrong for America to do this, and we still now have time, because there will be another generation of superconducting super collider when Bern becomes obsolete, and I hope America will step to the forefront and start looking at our opportunities again to get the more technologically advanced superconducting super collider. And so I think that the Congress led the efforts to stop that. It wasn't really Dale Bumpers that did it. It happened in the House. And so I hope that we will continue to work on keeping America in the forefront with what we have, which is space, NASA research, and then build up toward hopefully getting a collider back in the future.
Thank you.
Yes.
What's your thought on options for space station utilization beyond 2016?
Well, that's a good question. I hope that the space station will be able to continue on into the future, depending on, of course, what we have in other places. But I think we've made a huge investment. I hope we can use it as long as we are producing more in it. We may have a station on the moon by then. We may have the launch capability to go to Mars. And so it just depends on, I guess, where we are and what the needs are at the time, and if we're discovering new things with cosmic rays, I hope we will continue to utilize it in some way, maybe even putting it on Mars or whatever capability we might have. One more question. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your support.